From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And well, for the Panthers, they're looking for a strong finish before a couple of weeks off. That's right, the break for the Four Nations face-off. It's upon us. It's a break for a lot of folks, but the Panthers do have a league-high 8 players going to the Four Nations face-off. Happens when you're a defending Stanley Cup champion and you've been a contender the last few years and you have a lot of players from a lot of different places achieving a lot of success. The Panthers have 8 players going off to the Four Nations face-off. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We'll talk about the week that was for the Atlantic Division leading Florida Panthers. We'll talk about what's coming up for the Panthers. Like I said, looking for a strong finish to the pre-Four Nations face-off part of the schedule. The Panthers have the Ottawa Senators in town tonight, so that's always a fun one, an Atlantic Division matchup. Two teams that have high aspirations. Ottawa has found itself inside the playoff picture, not on the outside looking in. A lot of folks were looking for them to take a step this year, and right now they're looking like they have. Should be a fun one tonight, 7 o'clock, Amerant Bank Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Hope to see you there. If you can't make it, you can tune in across the Panthers radio network this evening. We'll get to all the places to listen in just a moment. So coming up in this segment, a look back, a look ahead. We'll hear from a couple of the Panthers and Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Some reaction sound after the win in St. Louis, the Panthers' most recent game, a thriller 3-2 back on Thursday night. So we'll have some sound coming from that in just a moment. Coming up, segment number two, a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. Jamison Olive and I, you know Jamison from FloridaPanthers.com, took a look at a number of different Panthers topics. If you like what you hear, of course, you can find the whole episode at FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, wherever you get your podcast. Covered a lot of different topics. And, well, if you like what you hear, it's only about probably 20% of the actual episode. So you can have lots more Panthers listening over wherever you get your podcast by checking out the most recent edition of Territory Talk. Coming up in segment number three, we'll hear from a number of the Panthers, a handful. I believe we're going to hear from 5 different Panthers as well as head coach Paul Maurice, some sound from the Panthers' White House visit back on Monday. One of the great traditions in sport, the defending champion visits the White House. And the Panthers visited President Trump out at the White House back on Monday to kick off that most recent road trip. So we'll get some sound from that coming up, segment number three. And also, our friends down in Miami, the Marlins, they have their fan fest today, 4-8 down at Lone Depot Park. And we will hear from one of the Marlins, Griffin Conine, coming up in segment number three, a conversation I had with him earlier in the week. So again, lots to get to here in this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Tonight at 7, it's the Panthers and the Ottawa Senators. Again, we'd love to see you there. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com to get your tickets. If you can't make it, we've got you covered across the Panthers radio network. Our flagship home, 560 WQAM in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. 1230 The Gambler, Real Radio 92.1 up in the Palm Beaches. Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast. 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. Take all the guesswork out. Hit that radio button in the top right corner of your Panthers app. You can find us there too. And if you're a SiriusXM subscriber in your car or on channel 219 this evening, 931 on the app as always, you can find us there. So again, lots of different places to take in the Panthers game tonight. Consume Panthers hockey in mass quantities. It's good for you these days. Looking forward to having you aboard however you decide to consume Panthers Senators coming your way tonight. The week that was, well, since the last time we spoke with you here on the Panthers Insider Show, 1 week ago today, the Panthers had a matinee game against the Chicago Blackhawks. It was the front end of a back-to-back on home ice against a couple of different teams. So we turn the clock back 1 week. The Panthers, a 5-1 win over the Chicago Blackhawks a week ago at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. And, well, why don't we listen back to the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Tomasz Nosek is there, out to the line for Kulikov, a drive, and that one is blocked by Dickinson. Fresh off serving that penalty, Mikula rolls one to the side of the net, scramble to the side of the net, they score! That one was jammed home, there was a flurry out in front of the Chicago net, it looks like. It was Jonah Gadjevich who made the last contact with that one, back in the lineup here this afternoon, and yet everybody whacking away, and the Panthers have tied this game with 14:32 to go in the first.
Puck goes out to the line. The Panthers hold it in. Barkov out of the right circle. Looks in front. And they score! And it's Sam Reinhart set up perfectly right out at the top of the goal crease. 9:41 to go in the first. And the Panthers take the lead. It's 2-1.
The Panthers are just torturing the Blackhawks.
Backhand feed Reinhart behind the net for Hagee. Verhaeghe here on the near side.
Reinhart a shot. He scores! 3-1 Panthers. That may have glanced off something out front. Matthew Tkachuk looks like he got a piece of that. The Panthers extend their lead to 2. 3-1 coming on the heels of that Panthers power play. It's a 5-on-5 goal, but they continued it like it was a power play.
A puck pulled back, gets to the Wolverine, gives to Nico Mikula, and he will dump it down to our left. Puck rims around the end board. Vasek behind the Chicago net can't hang on to it up front. Oh. A shot, and they score quickly. It's Evan Rodriguez, 10 seconds into the third, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead. Evan Rodriguez wasting no time. Let it go out of that right circle, and the Panthers get this third period going quickly.
And we're right back behind the net, dragged on by Ekblad, got around Foligno, and then he left it off. Sam Reinhart. Now it's Barkov at the offensive end, right side, Reinhart in front for Hagee, and he scores! A power play goal! It's a 5-1 Panthers lead!
And that'll take us to the final seconds. Fans to their feet. Congratulations to Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. The final horn sounds, a 5-1 Panthers win over the Blackhawks. 900 head coaching wins in the National Hockey League for Paul Maurice. Just the fourth coach in league history to reach that mark. The Panthers win a second consecutive game on this homestand. 5-1 the final here this afternoon.
That was a week ago. The Panthers, a 5-1 win over the Chicago Blackhawks at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. It was the front end of a back-to-back at home. And heard it right there. It was a milestone win for Paul Maurice, his 900th NHL victory, fourth coach in league history to get to 900 wins. So a big congratulations to Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. And, well, it only took another day for him to get to 901. The Panthers played the Islanders on Sunday evening before they hit the road, and it was a tight one for a bit. The Panthers pulled away late, a 6-3 win. Here are the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Puck played up the far side. Barkov holds it in for the Panthers. Reinhart for Hagee in front. He scores! Top shelf with a backhand. And the Panthers are in business early. 39 seconds in. Carter Verhaeghe completes a nifty passing play. And he goes backhand top shelf.
Pellick will work it ahead for the Islanders. Palmieri up to center. Lost it to Forsling. He'll bolt right back in. Penalty. No penalty coming. Here's Forsling. A shot, a rebound. And they score. Verhaeghe, his second of the game, jams home the rebound. And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. 7:08 to go here in the first.
Schmidt with pressure coming in. He'll toss it back behind the net. This one winds around the end board. Far side, McLean tracks it down for the Islanders. He wasn't able to clear. Wolstarinen behind the net into a tie-up then with Chalosky. Now a battle here on the near side down to our right of Molding. Four players. A scrum for a loose puck. Wolstarinen on it in front. A chance, and they score! Lundell will stop it. Rodriguez jams it in, and this game is tied at 3.
By Lundell, Wolstarinen, and Rodriguez, and that'll perk up the bench.
Now Duclair over on the far boards. Nudge to one out the line. And it left the zone. Panthers grab control, though. Up they come quickly. Here's Reinhart through center. Left side. Forsling hops the rush in front of me. Score! What a setup. What a finish. Sam Reinhart buries that one. His 31st of the year. And the Panthers take a 4-3 lead with 50 seconds to go here in the second period.
Sam, I can again. 31st of the year.
Off the draw, Pageau whacks it along to the line. Reinhart just kept it in. Barkhofer, Hagee to the corner. Kachuk back behind the net. Kachuk off to the right corner to the right circle in front of shot, and they score. Connor Verhaeghe. There's the hat trick. Connor Verhaeghe gives the Panthers a 5-3 lead, a power play goal. Hands it around the end wall, D'Angelo. Behind the net, Holmstra. Far corner, Sam Bennett fresh off the bench. And a tie-up over on that far side. A pass to Verhaeghe up top. It's Ekblad. Down along the far side, a shot toward the net. Kachuk, and he scores out of the right circle. 6-3, the Panthers lead. An empty netter for Matthew Kachuk.
So a 6-3 Panthers win back on Sunday. The Panthers would then hit the road. They opened the trip on Tuesday night, lost to the Washington Capitals. 4-1 was the final. Washington did have two empty netters, though, much closer than the final score would appear. That was a heavyweight battle in the Eastern Conference between the Panthers and the Capitals. And well, as we get into the spring, wouldn't surprise me if we saw those teams play in a series. They do have one more regular season matchup against each other late March in the district. And the Panthers would close out their quick two-game trip in St. Louis with a 3-2 victory over the Blues back on Thursday night. Here are the highlights from the Panthers' win in St. Louis. It went down to the final seconds back on Thursday.
It was given away in front of Chance Kachuk. Samuskevich rang it off the outside of the goalpost. Blues having a hard time clearing their own zone after that save from Hofer. Puck played out front. Kachuk, right circle to Bennett. A shot, and they score! And this game is tied. 12:51 to go in the first. A great setup out in front. Sam Bennett got it to the net. It may have been tipped, and it looks like Mackie Samuskevich may have gotten a piece of this one. Either way, the game's tied up. 1-1, 12:51 to go here in the opening frame. Barkhof far side with it. Tried to pass to Reinhardt. It was tipped away. Panthers keep it in, though. Barkhof down for Kachuk. Barkhof far side out the line. Long shot, Ekblad tip. They score! A power play goal, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead. Tipped out front. Matthew Kachuk was cruising by the front of the net. He got a piece of it there, and the Panthers are up a goal. 20 seconds in regulation time. Barkhof here on the near side. Barkhof looking out front. Reinhardt a shot. He couldn't get it through. Second chance. He scores. Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers a 3-2 lead with 11.8 seconds to go in regulation time. Reinhardt's first shot didn't get through, but he picked it up and let it rip. And the follow-up try gets by Hofer. And the Panthers take a 3-2 lead with 11.8 on the clock.
Well, folks wondering, probably minutes after we got off the air on Thursday night, they did ultimately change that game-winning goal to Matthew Kachuk. He got a piece of it as Reinhardt let that shot go out front. So just to clarify for a lot of you folks out there who may have been wondering, it was a big game for Matthew Kachuk. 3 points factored into all three goals, and the Panthers got that win in St. Louis, one that went down to the wire. So now they will shift gears and look to keep things rolling on home ice tonight. Though some thoughts on the win Thursday night as we get some post-game reaction sound after the win in St. Louis. Here is Sam Reinhardt of the Panthers after that one. And well, as far as Sam Reinhardt goes, right here talking about what went into that win last time out and on the team's comfort level in those close games, what it took to beat the Blues.
Well, it's experience. The more you do it, the more comfortable you are, obviously. You know, our systems promotes games like this. You don't need to be feeling your best if everyone's in the right spot, right time. In the tighter games, that's where you want to be playing. I mean, they got a lot of skill, a lot of talent, especially in the O zone and in the neutral zone coming with speed. So, you know, it took five guys and a very good effort in net to defend this one.
Sam Reinhardt there. Here is the winning goaltender from Thursday, Spencer Knight, postgame on the win in St. Louis. How he kept himself ready throughout that one as he had to make some big saves, but there were also some stretches where he didn't see a lot of activity.
Yeah, the third period, they were, you know, they came out strong. Committed to stay on the right side of the puck. And, you know, I think what I try to do in those situations is be ready for anything, play the puck, try to get clean exits, get on their tape, and just be ready. But, you know, I think the game is a perfect example of just sticking with it all the way to the end, right? All the way to basically all 60 minutes is what it took. So it was a good team win. they got a lot of good skill. I mean, they can hit seams really well, and they have some good, you know, guys who can really shoot the puck and make plays. So that's what I was kind of saying. You just got to be ready. Like, you know, everyone looks at, like, the quantity of shots. And I think that's an indication of sometimes, you know, like possession, or maybe, like, you know, our team, you know, like we were kind of buzzing there. But, you know, it doesn't mean that they can't get a scoring chance that can end up in a goal. So you just have to be ready at all times.
Spencer Knight, the winning goaltender from Thursday evening. Now here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, as talks post-game from the win in St. Louis and talks about the team's approach going into tonight's game, the last game before the break.
You know, pretty good. We gave up two shots in the third period. I think we're pretty close to it, so that's right for us. I don't think we generated a ton, but that's all right. This is kind of like an extended road trip. We play back-to-back games at home and then leave after the game to go out on this road. So it feels like a long road trip, and we found a way. Sometimes you loosen up in the third periods of those games. You're just trying to get the win, and you just trade, and I didn't think we did that at all, so that's the good part. Everybody has the exact same feel, kind of light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe for about 12 of our guys, the other guys have to go play some hockey, but this break's been on. This is the last almost aberration to our season. We've had lots of well-earned, unusual things that we had to do this year, which were great, but the break is, when we come out of that break, it's back to normal. It's a regular NHL year for us then.
Paul Maurice there referencing the break for the Four Nations faceoff. The Panthers play at 7 at home tonight against Ottawa, and then after tonight, their next game will be on the 22nd, so a couple of weeks in between. And that game on the 22nd will be a home game against Seattle. So get your Panthers tickets, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. As far as Panthers going off to the Four Nations faceoff, Matthew Tkachuk will be playing for Team USA, Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart for Team Canada, Gus Forsling for Team Sweden, and you watch Team Finland, you're going to see a lot of Panthers representation. Alexander Barkov, Anton Lundell, Nico Mikkola, Etu Luostarinen all suiting up for Team Finland in this tournament coming up. Folks, we're going to step aside. We'll come back. We'll get a clip from the most recent Territory Talk podcast just dropped. We'll get you caught up on that. And if you like what you hear, you can find the whole episode, the rest of it. This is only going to be a small fraction of it. FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Doug Plagans, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Thanks for being with us. Lots more Panthers Insider to come right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey, getting you set for the Panthers and the Senators tonight before the Panthers have a couple of weeks off. Well, at least most of the Panthers have a couple of weeks off. 8 players and a handful of staff members going off to the Four Nations face-off. But the Panthers, of course, get ready for a big Atlantic Division tilt against the Senators tonight, 7 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena. Hope to see you there. If you don't have your tickets, get them quickly. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. That's where to go. Well, a new edition of the Territory Talk podcast dropped yesterday. We covered a lot of topics. The episode over a half an hour in length, so a perfect thing to listen to while you're driving out to Amerant Bank Arena tonight for the game. Here's a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. You'll hear me, you'll hear Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, and of course, co-host on Territory Talk. And well, the first thing we talk about here is we covered a handful of topics. I said to Jameson that Mackie Samuskevich, and I know he's day-to-day, scored last time out, didn't finish that game against the St. Louis Blues, but he looks like, before our eyes, he has blossomed into a top-six forward.
He does, and that's a great thing to have, one, because he's 22, and two, because let's not forget, you know, the Panthers have locked up a lot of big guns to big contracts, and even with the cap going up by quite a bit, it looks like, over the next couple of years, you still need those guys, those RFAs, those guys currently on ELCs, the guys that you can kind of keep in a little bit of a lower pay bracket for a while that can produce at the same time, and they seem to have that in Mackie Siemiatkiewicz. So,
and the pressure doesn't need to be. It's a good situation for a young guy because the pressure isn't going to be on him to the degree that it may be on, you know, some other guys on other teams. On this team, Mackie doesn't need to shoulder the same offensive responsibility that some players do elsewhere.
And you got to give a lot of kudos to the coaching staff for putting him on the fourth line and sticking him there for as long as they did earlier in the year. He learned a lot down there. He learned not only obviously the physical side, but the systems, where to be. His work off the puck has gotten so strong. And you see him now kind of playing on that top six role with a little bit of a physical edge. He throws the body. He takes a lot of hits. He bounces back up. So I know some fans, you see it sometimes, and you say, why is our, you know, top sniper rookie on the fourth line? It's because he can learn a lot down there.
And he did.
He did.
And I know this is the Panthers podcast. We're talking Panthers with a Panthers slant here. But, Jameson, you and I we've had the fortune of being able to talk to him quite a bit on his road to the National Hockey League, going back to when he was drafted.
Since day one, yeah.
To development
We're
camps,
day one,
to things like that. And it was the same then. It's the same now. His approach and outlook every single day. I mean, in terms of the makeup overall and the way that he's absorbing everything every single day, learning from the guys around him, realizing that this is a great situation for him and a place that he can learn and really evolve as a player. His outlook and the way he's approaching the game, he's mature beyond his years, but it's just a great outlook. He's coming to the rink with a great attitude every single day and understanding that at 22, he's in a great spot for a player to learn.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, one of the worst things you can do, and luckily the Panthers don't have to do this because they're such a deep loaded team, is you bring in a guy like Mackie Siemiatkiewicz, who's known for his scoring, and even though he's a young guy, you put him right in your top six and you say, okay, score us some goals, win us some games. That's a lot of pressure, and also I feel like you don't learn much. And I feel like Samo's kind of gone to the Panthers school of hard knocks here, worked his way up the lineup, and he's such a better player for it. So, like we said, hope he's back soon, because the Panthers don't only have like a promising young player, they have a guy that's ready to contribute on what should and hopefully will be a long playoff run here again.
There are some young guys around the league who, it's easy when you're a young player on a rebuilding team and you're having to drive the offense and shoulder a ton of responsibility, it's easy to develop bad habits, and we see it around the league with some highly drafted players.
That's in the news right now with Connor Bedard, so who knows? We're not getting into the Blackhawks. This is a Panthers podcast,
yep.
But people are talking about that.
But that's where all we're saying is you look at it from Mackie's perspective, he is in a great environment to be able to really develop nicely as a player here, and he sees it.
Looking at a little bit bigger, the road trip as a whole, it's funny to say that. It was only two games, but I look at the game against Washington going back, and I look at that game. I don't want to talk too much about it, but underlying numbers are fantastic. They dominated at 5-on-5. Not to be the Homer podcast, but the calls could have been a little bit more even just based on the eye test. I feel like the Caps got a little bit more love there. Not enough to maybe sway the game, but just a little bit more love than the Panthers did in that department. But it was a one-goal game. It was 4-3, throw in two empty netters. That's how you get to 6-3. A one-goal game against the current top team in the Eastern Conference. On the road, like I said, dominant 5-on-5. You hate to take it, and Matthew Tkachuk said, you know, they like their game, but you always want the win. But there's something there. You keep building. You don't take a step back. They kept building in that game, and you take that right into St. Louis, and you play the full 60, and it's a great game. So if I'm looking at the road trip as a whole, fine with the split. Like Matthew Tkachuk said, a decent road trip. But I look at the game against the Capitals and then the way the Panthers played, and I say to myself, if they've had to face the Capitals again in the playoffs, that's a team they could beat in seven games. I don't think that team's taken 4 out of 7 against the Panthers based on what I saw in that game. A heavyweight matchup, two teams at their best. That game, honestly, even in defeat, gave me some confidence going forward if this becomes a playoff matchup.
They're both really good lineups.
I think it would go 7, though.
Good. It's a good possibility it would go deep. The area, though, where I feel like the Panthers would have the edge over a long series, you look back at Tuesday's game for Washington to win that game, which was a one-goal game for the most part, Logan Thompson had to be really good. Washington needed their goaltender to be really good to win that game. The Panthers had some great chances. And Paul Maurice always says, you never want to get into the we had our chances conversation. But where I like the Panthers in a seven-game series over Washington, if it gets to that point, is the Panthers' elite is better than Washington's elite as far as the scoring is concerned. Both teams are loaded with good players. Both teams are deep. Both teams really don't have holes. But they're, I think Barkov, Tkachuk, Reinhart, Verhaeghe, and at this point, you're probably looking Verhaeghe and Ovi. Verhaeghe and Ovechkin are probably on a similar goal scoring level. If we're just talking goal scoring, I think there's more all around game to Carter Verhaeghe's game at this stage. But if we're just talking goal scoring, you know, you're probably looking at those two as a comparable just in the goal scoring department at this point in time, which is, you know, real. I realize Alex Ovechkin's about to set the all time record. He's the best goal scorer of all time. I'm talking right now at this
in a seven game.
If you're comparing them head to head in a playoff series. But I think the Panthers' overall offensive elite is better than Washington's offensive elite. And Washington doesn't have a Barkov. And over a seven-game series, having a Barkov, it's not something everybody has. A center that shapes...
Where can I get a Barkov?
You know, they're...
If our listeners want to go get a Barkov, where can they
they're
go?
They're really tough to find. They're really tough to find. It's every they're sold
now,
out
every. Every now and then you get one. You get the Bergeron, a Kopitar... Seems like every
Jonathan Taves.
Yeah, it seems like every maybe 5 or 6 years a new Barkov comes on the market, and maybe you can pick one up if you're lucky.
Every team has been looking for one. If you want to win a cup, you probably need one, but not everybody can have one. And Washington doesn't have one.
They had one when they won the cup.
They Backstrom. Did. They did. And when you look at the overall body work, this is a totally different conversation. And I've said this to a few people, and actually I'm surprised people do. People, it shows how much Barkov is on the map now. You can't even play the underrated label's not there anymore. People agree with me. I've had a number of people agree with me on this, that Barkov, MacKinnon and McDavid might be the most explosive players in the National Hockey League. Barkov shift to shift impacts the game more than any player in the National Hockey League. And this is not just because it's the Panthers podcast. If you're on the power play, if you're on the penalty kill, if the faceoff is in the offensive zone, the neutral zone, the defensive zone, whatever's going on, if it's the first period, second period, third period, overtime, there's not anybody who impacts every particular aspect of the game more than Alexander Barkov does.
Agree. And the thing is, you look at a player like a McDavid or a MacKinnon, and when they're going and they're killing you. But you can find ways to slow them down. Like we saw in the Panthers during their playoff run last year, whether it was Barkov and Forsling or just the whole defensive team effort as a whole, they found ways to shut down those really high skill players.
And if you keep them in their own zone, those guys aren't going to be doing much
but
against
you. The shutdown version of a Barkov, if you find a way to just disrupt Barkov in the slightest, he's still executing. He's still doing things. He's still making an impact where you can take away MacKinnon for a game if you're lucky.
And you might
can find a way. He'll still get a couple shots, but you can find a way to take him out to an extent in a way you can't take out a Barkov.
You might keep Barkov from scoring, but he's probably going to keep your best player from scoring too.
Yeah.
So he's the ultimate eraser.
We didn't give him credit really for the winner in St. Louis either. It was a great battle by him along the boards.
Yep.
As usual, he went in with two guys and came out with the puck.
Yep. And the Panthers were able to grind it out and get the win late. So it was a great end to the road trip. Panthers going home now for one.
Yeah, they are.
The Ottawa
and I got to say, as we went from the game, we zoomed out a little bit to the road trip. I want to zoom out a little bit bigger here now because I feel like every now and then we kind of do block check-ins here. And I feel like last time we did a block check-in, there was a lot more people that were being a little doom and gloom because even when you're at the top, you want to complain about something. As we said, most teams in the league, I think at this point maybe every team in the league would probably want to trade places with the Panthers, at least for the time being. There's maybe a group of 5 or 6 teams that people would say, I'd trade my team for that team. Panthers are in that group. But they've won 8 of their last 12 during still a very tough portion of their schedule. It gets a little bit better here coming out of the break. But they've won 8 of their last 12. That includes the Cali trip and this road trip here. A lot of time on the road. And I will say, since the start of the California trip, so that game in Anaheim, Panthers have played 9 games. And you remember what we said when people were saying, you know, the Panthers, what's happened to Kachuk? What's happened to Verhaeghe? What's happened to all the big guns? And we said, remember what we said? We said the big guns always get theirs.
Numbers even out.
They even out.
Over 82 games.
Over the last nine games during that stretch since the start of the Cali trip, Kachuk's got 11 points. Verhaeghe's got 10 points and 5 goals. Barkov's got 10 points. Reinhardt's got 9 points. Lundell's got 6 points. Bennett's got 4 goals. What do you know? The big guns are getting their numbers, and it's all kind of swinging back to where it should. So, once again, I care more about how they look and the underlying numbers and just the attitude and the vibe. Vibes are good right now. Attitude's good. Like I said, the third period to me, their trends in the third period is the biggest, most important thing to me right now. But regardless, it's always nice when the numbers, face value numbers, look good as well. They're looking great now. All the guys are getting theirs. They're eating, especially the goaltenders as well. Both Bob and Knight playing well. We're going to... Not we, but people are still going to find more reasons to say, before we get to the playoffs. But I look at this team right now, and just like last year, I say, you know what? Maybe pick up a guy or two at the deadline, just like they did last year. Lock it in. Buckle up. Let's go again. See what happens.
Lots there from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. That's just a fraction of it. FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk or wherever you get your podcast. Jameson Olive and I covered a myriad of topics on this week's edition. So, like I said, something great to check out as you're driving out to the arena this evening. Panthers and the Senators at 7 o'clock, 33-20-3, the Panthers, 29-22-4, the Senators coming off a couple of losses in a row. Ottawa is. The Panthers have won their last 4 home games, so looking to make that 5 tonight. And folks, a reminder, you can join the 93 Society email club. Stay up to date on all things Panthers. Be the first to know about special ticket offers, exclusive events, and so much more. Sign up now. FloridaPanthers.com is where to go. Coming up on the other side, we have a variety of sound bites coming your way. A handful of the Panthers, Paul Maurice talking about the trip to the White House back on Monday. So again, it's a tradition. You only get to do that if you win a Stanley Cup. The Panthers did that, and they visited the White House back on Monday. So we'll have some sound bites from that coming up on the other side. Also caught up with Griffin Conine of the Marlins, their fan fest today at Lone Depot Park. And I had a chance to talk to him earlier this week to find out how the offseason's gone for him. We're venturing outside the Panthers sphere to talk to Griffin Conine coming up in our next segment. More of the Panthers Insider Show straight ahead. It's Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back. Final segment here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Let me thank you very much for tuning in this morning. Last segment, you heard a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. You can find the whole episode, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, or wherever you find your podcast. Tonight, it's the Atlantic Division leading Florida Panthers playing host to the Ottawa Senators, who currently occupy one of the wild card playoff positions in the Eastern Conference. Panthers looking to keep it rolling after Thursday's win in St. Louis. Ottawa trying to stem the tide, if you will. They've lost 2 straight, and they don't want to go into the Four Nations faceoff break on a losing skid. So a lot on the line for the two teams. Always exciting when you've got Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk on opposite sides of the ice. That's tonight at 7, Panthers and the Senators. And you can find us across the Panthers Radio Network tonight if you're not able to make it out to the arena for all the action. Again, beginning at 7, we've got pregame coverage, 6:30 across the radio network. Well, back on Monday, before the Panthers played the first game on their 2-game road trip, the Panthers paid a visit to President Trump at the White House. And, well, it's an annual tradition. U.S.-based Stanley Cup winners make a trip to the White House every year. You see the champions across all the sports head out to the White House. And, well, as we were walking around the White House back on Monday, let's hear a handful of sound bites here from a number of the Panthers. First up, here's Matthew Tkachuk. This was before the actual ceremony took place. Had a chance to catch up with Matthew inside the White House, and here's what he had to say about what it meant to visit the White House back on Monday.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's kind of like that cherry on top finish. You know, it's been an incredible last almost year celebrating it and going through that run. And to be here at the White House today, about to meet the President of the United States, and lucky enough to have him honor us, it's just so cool, and something that I honestly never would have imagined. And now that I'm here, it's just, I'm just trying to take it all in, and I'm kind of speechless right now, and I never am. So it's a really cool day. I'm just honored and represent the United States coming up too, and like be here at the White House. Like, it's all like just coming together so fast, and I definitely take great pride in being American and being from the United States, and I guess I just can't really stress enough how much it means to me to be here.
So Matthew Tkachuk right there, that was Monday before the event really happened. That was when we were walking around the White House before the Panthers had the ceremony and met the president. This now after the events took place, here is Evan Rodriguez of the Panthers on what it meant to visit the White House back on Monday.
Yeah, this was really cool. You know, you head into this season, you kind of turn the page a little bit, but to come here and kind of celebrate it again was a cool experience. And, you know, it was something you probably, you know, looking to once in a lifetime experience meeting the president, you know, getting to go in the Oval Office. And yeah, just an awesome, awesome moment. You know, more history, right? It's, you know, something that you don't dream you'd ever, you know, be able to do. And yeah, kind of a little bit, you know, still taking it in. It was a cool moment. Again, him inviting us into the Oval Office at the end was a nice little touch, and really kind of, you know, made this day, you know, even better than we thought it would be, and just a nice moment.
Yeah, special event back on Monday. Now, the next day, the Panthers were getting set to take on the Washington Capitals, but after the morning skate, we talked to Carter Verhaeghe, and you could tell he was still excited about the visit the day before, and even heard President Trump mention his name specifically. Here's Carter Verhaeghe on the White House visit and what it meant to hear his name mentioned during the event.
Yeah, it was a surreal experience. I mean, it was so cool to see meet him, and I mean, see his personality and everything like that, and I mean, just such an honor to be invited to the White House. It's unbelievable, something I'll never forget, to be in the Oval Office and just look around and see the history and everything like that is something special. So I'm so glad I got to share with all these guys and our team, and we're so fortunate. Hearing the president say my name was something surreal. I couldn't wipe the smile off my face all day. I mean, it was pretty crazy. And yeah, he said it a couple times, so maybe I'll probably watch it a couple more times. But yeah, it was something really cool. He mentioned a bunch of guys and our whole team, and to be up there on stage with him, and just it was just a surreal experience.
So three of the players there. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on the White House visit.
It's one of the great traditions in sport. U.S.-based teams get to go to the White House and celebrate it. And it was just an incredible experience. I've never seen the White House, never been anywhere near it. So to see a sitting president and welcome, and he was so gracious to us, it was quite an experience. Quite an experience. We'll never forget it.
And does it feel like kind of the, I guess, really the last part of celebrating the 2024 Cup win?
It's that busy. It's one of the great little experiences that you have when you win the ring ceremony. Some things like that are just very, very special. And then we've got that, the four nations, and then it's on. We're back to normal hockey, right? And I think everybody's getting excited for that.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there. That was in reference to the Panthers White House visit back on Monday. That was from a conversation I had with him the following day on Tuesday, and he mentioned it right there. It's kind of the turning the page, the last bit of celebrating of last year's Stanley Cup win. And now, you know, you have tonight's game, you've got a break for the Four Nations face-off, and then coming out of that, you've got a sprint to the finish of the regular season. The Panthers tonight playing their 57th game, so they'll have 25 left after this evening, between now and the end of the regular season, and then it'll be off to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the sprint to the finish starts after tonight's game and after this break coming up. Tonight at 7, Panthers and the Ottawa Senators. Now today at 4 o'clock at Lone Depot Park, our friends down in Miami, the Marlins, they're having their fan fest. And earlier this week, had a chance to catch up with Griffin Conine, son of longtime Marlin Jeff Conine. Had a chance to chat with him. Great to meet him. Great to talk a little baseball with him. And as we switch gears a little bit, venturing outside the Panthers sphere, I caught up with Griffin Conine. And the first thing I asked him was how the offseason's gone, how's he occupied his time, and how's the preparation gone for the season?
Yeah, it's been very, very busy. You know, I've always taken the offseason really seriously, and I think this year just took it up a notch after making it up last year, and I know all the things I need to do to be ready to break with the team this year and make an impact. So it's been a lot of hard work and dedicated stuff, but I feel great and couldn't be more excited heading into this year.
You had a big year with your MLB debut, your first career home run. A lot of guys say sometimes they might reflect on those things when they have more time to over the offseason. Did you find yourself thinking back to those big moments?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was such a blur going by that, you know, it was a month that I was up and it felt like a week at most. So it was definitely, it took some time to rewatch at bats, rewatch pitches coming in, how I felt, and definitely had a lot of time to reflect on it and a lot to improve on, you know, as well as it went. I think I definitely, there's room to grow there.
And in mentioning that, how does it change your preparation in an off season, having tasted the big leagues and knowing what to expect?
Exactly. I think you see the best of the best. So I think every day when I go to hit and do all my work, it's just I have that in my mind of facing the top guys and knowing what they're coming with. And that's kind of like how I mold the preparation. And that's why I kind of took it up a notch, because you can't really do that until you've seen it. And now I know what it looks like, and I got to be ready for it.
And I'm sure you've been asked it a million times, but to be able to make your debut, experience these milestones in the Marlins uniform, obviously the fans hold your dad so close to their hearts, and to be able to do that in a Marlins uniform, how special was it?
Yeah, I couldn't put into words, really. You know, it's a team I grew up watching. You know, I was there the first game at Lone Depot Park when they made the switch to Miami, and just a lot of history that I followed my whole career. And I think just trying to not live up to my dad's legacy, but, you know, keep it going, like how well respected he was in the game and how he did everything the right way. You know, everyone tells me that all the time, so I just want to follow in his footsteps.
Marlins Fan Fest coming up here, obviously. How much fun is it? And do you always look forward to these opportunities to mingle with the fans?
Of course. You know, I think this is my first one that I've never actually been to it, so I'm really excited for that. And just will be great. You know, I know the kids love it. That's what we're there for, is you know, the next generation and just trying to keep them happy and build up the energy for the season. So I'm looking forward to it.
And you were a guy that had the opportunity to grow up with a big league dad, kind of knew probably more than a lot of guys did what it would be like going in. But your first go around, what was the biggest thing maybe that you did learn, whether it be on field, off field, preparation wise, what was the biggest thing you learned about your taste of the big leagues?
I think it's all on you as far as preparation, how you want to prepare. There's no set schedule. You know, you kind of make your own, whatever works for you. You got to find your time to do your pregame hitting when you want to get your workouts in. I had a lot of time in the minor leagues to kind of figure out what that worked for me. And once you get up to the big leagues, it's even more so tailored to you. So it's just knowing your body and how you operate and learning where your best times are to be prepared the most for game time.
Griffin Conine of the Marlins. Big thanks to him for his time. Marlins having their fan fest today at Lone Depot Park, 4-8. And, of course, the Panthers and the Senators tonight at 7 o'clock. Maybe you could do a little bit of a double dip there between the two. Panthers and the Senators at 7 at Amerant Bank Arena tonight. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK for your tickets. And we've got you covered across the radio network as well. Elsewhere in the National Hockey League today, 1 o'clock, Devils Canadians. Also 1 o'clock Eastern, Lightning at the Red Wings. Utah at Carolina, 3:30 Eastern, Bruins hosting Vegas, 7 Eastern, Philadelphia hosting Pittsburgh, Columbus will host the Rangers, who are looking to bounce back after a tough one last night. Chicago and St. Louis, you've got the Leafs at Vancouver, also Buffalo at Nashville, 8 Eastern, 8 Eastern, Minnesota host the Islanders, 10 o'clock Eastern, Calgary hosting Seattle, and the Stars visit the Sharks, 10:30 Eastern, Anaheim at Los Angeles. Again, today at 7, or tonight at 7, I should say. Panthers and the Senators, we'll have that for you across the radio network. Big thanks to all of you who tuned in. Big thanks, Dan Day, on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.